Chapter 9, The Carmelite Studies, A New Direction. Neuroscience, more than other disciplines, is the science at the interface between modern philosophy and science. No opportunity should be given to anybody to use neuroscience for supporting transcendent views of the world. Neuroscientist Svani Rossetti opposing the Dalai Lama's lecture. This research is a first pass on a new topic, and you just can't do perfect science the first time through. You get curious about something and you mess around. That's what science is in the beginning. You mess around. Neurobiologist Robert Wyman supporting the Dalai Lama's lecture. My confidence in venturing into science lies in my basic belief that as in science, so in Buddhism, understanding the nature of reality is pursued by means of critical investigation. The Dalai Lama, the universe in a single atom. In its spring 2005 newsletter, the Society for Neuroscience notified members of a new feature attraction at the upcoming 2005 annual meeting in Washington, D.C. The Dalai Lama had agreed to be the first ever speaker in an annual lecture series, Dialogues Between Neuroscience and Society. The Dalai Lama encourages the scientific study of consciousness, which is no surprise considering that Buddhists have pursued this topic for about 2.5 millennia. The current Lama has always been interested in science. He enjoyed friendships with such luminaries as philosopher of science Karl Popper and physicists Carl von Weizsacker and David Bohm. He has eagerly embraced the new neuroscientific research tools. He also helped establish and serves as honorary chairman of the Mind and Life Institute, which sponsors both neuroscientific research and in-depth dialogues between Buddhism and science. He has even encouraged his monks to serve as research subjects. On the face of it, the 70-year-old Lama seemed an ideal choice to set the pace for a series of lectures on neuroscience and society. Political protest might have been anticipated. The Dalai Lama, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1989, is not only the leader of Tibetan Buddhism, but a revered figurehead of the Tibetan movement for independence from China. He fled Chinese troops in 1959 and has lived in India ever since. But the Society's president, Carol Barnes, was assailed by a protest campaign that went well beyond politics. Some neuroscientists urged the Society to cancel the lecture, dismissing the neuroscientific study of Buddhist meditation as little more than mumbo-jumbo. A petition was organized announcing,